Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Also joining me this morning is the bearded man, more hair on his face than his head. The one, the only, John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Give a shout-out this morning to all of our new listeners that are joining us in the virtual stadium. We want to give a shout-out to Mikhail and Vartai and Lex and Wesley and Justin and Alex. We're so glad to have you a part of the VFN virtual stadium. Michael and Ken and Rich, we just want to welcome you to our audience and all those that are listening through all the many outlets that are out there. We're here to encourage you at VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Also, to join me this morning, hopefully, he'll join me this morning, right? To join me is the one, the only, John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Here we are. We are moving into the extra hour, and I heard during the break between the hours that Steve talked about his membership in the gym,
yeah.
and like, you think $50 is cheap for a gym? Oh my goodness, you guys are so wealthy. I mean, you guys up north. I mean, you got so.
Who said that was cheap?
You did. I heard it. I heard you were talking to Steve. I heard it on VFN Radio.
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, that's cheap. That's cheap." Yeah, I'm like, cheap. Oh my goodness, because first of all, you're not going to use it. You know, I mean, you're not going to use it, so you might as well find a real cheap gym that you just kind of like pay $10 a month to,
yeah.
You know, sort of like pittance or something.
You
may show up every now and then. But $50 just to throw away, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
But you know John. He's like his Lexus and all the things,
yeah.
You know.
He's wealthy.
Right. Yeah. Everybody, traffic just stops in Lincoln Tunnel for him to enter into the rock of Manhattan, you know, as he comes in his limousine. Yeah, $50. It costs like $10. I mean, it's so hard to get Americans to work out where we're at. They have like one particular gym that says, "Listen, we'll pay you to come."
Oh my goodness,
we'll pay you to come. It's like, I remember we were talking about some reason everybody was discussing my weight on all the social networks when I was sharing the three things my doctor shared with me.
Went viral.
I know that's something. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate all the tips. All the tips was very wonderful.
Mm.
And by the way, the three things he told me was, as I leaned forward to write them in my planner, was lose weight. I said, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Number two, lose weight. <It's> like, you know, I did take logic in college. I know what's coming next. Right? Pizza, right? he said, lose weight. I'm like, great. Okay, got it. You know, did I tell you that you're ugly? And I'm like, he's a wonderful doctor. He really is. I mean, it's so cool to have a doctor cares about you, you know? And I can't wait till things shift and we get our priorities right in America in regards to the medical. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, I think it's important for us to figure out how to make sure that nobody's without help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't have, we don't have to change our form of government for that, you know, but I don't know. I just know in the bullseye, when you stand before the throne of God, he's not going to be satisfied with some sort of economic argument, you know, why you didn't help somebody. And we're talking about right now in Indonesia, this, not a governor, but some position, this Chinese Christian's running for this political position in Indonesia, and he's even being supported by Muslim leaders there. And one of his platform is that he talks openly about Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and he says that he needs, you know, and he doesn't tell anybody else they have to, but mm-hmm. he's not, it's just beautiful, by the way, it's just beautiful to watch his interview. You can see it on CBN News, but, he just says one of his platform is that we want to provide, make sure that nobody's hungry,
mm-hmm.
that everybody gets an education and that, everybody's medical needs are provided for. I mean, what's wrong with that? It sounds like, you know, Matthew chapter 25 to me.
Right.
Doesn't it? You know what I'm saying? It sounds like Matthew chapter 25. And as Christians, we got to be very careful. And if you haven't yet gone, listen to highlights or go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and check out the Torch for, you know, God's perspective of the poor. You'll be really surprised that it's not some Republican platform methodology nor Democratic platform methodology. It's Jesus' platform, you know, and that God cares about you. If you have nobody to help you, if you have nobody to, if you have no way to get some food in your children's stomachs, if you have some disease or you broke something or something's wrong and you can't get medical treatment, despite what you're seeing in this culture right now, I want to encourage you and let you know that God cares about you. And what the church would not do by choice, it very well could be that God's allowing to happen by force.
Right.
You know, because you wouldn't share your marbles with the That's little right. boy. Now you're going to have to give him your marbles. You know,
yeah.
That was the old argument years ago, right?
That's right.
But not my blue marble. It's my blue shiny marble. You know, that your little marble argument does not make sense at the throne of God.
Mm-mm.
You know, these guys that play all these electric games, marbles. Marbles, what's marbles?
What is that?
What is that? You know, it's like.
No idea.
Yeah. You don't, right? That's for older. What can I do? I don't know. Okay, imagine your Incredible Hulk doll that you had. Remember the Incredible Hulk doll?
No. It was me.
He was Incredible Hulk. He was Incredible Hulk.
You were the Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
Nah, I'd rip up my shirts, cut my pants all up, pretending like I was, yeah.
You do that today, you get arrested. Yeah, he was the Incredible Hulk. And you go around, he's like, and beat his brother up. You know, but praise God, we pray for healing.
It was
so stressed. His brother was so stressed, he smoked his Bible. But we'll talk more about that in the future. It's a future. That segment's coming in the future. Stay tuned for how a man can smoke his Bible. Before you know Jesus, he smoked Jesus. And so we're going to, this is a true story. This is totally true. I have it in my safe. I have
no
the Bible there.
On this one,
no, it's really not. It's
real
really not.
Deal.
True story.
Yeah. You know, Chris is working on some things right now, but he's going to be joining us really soon to be able to talk about some of these things. And he will be the witness of what really happened. It really happened. I have, you know, it's just, there's so much to the story. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. So stay tuned for how a man can smoke Jesus before he knows Jesus. How you can smoke your Bible. You know, we're sinners saved by grace. Unlike John, who walked on water when he was first born, you know, with his fade, you know, that
fade's coming back, man.
Thank God. You know, you need to grow some of that hair out while you have a chance. I can't believe people are shaving off perfectly good hair.
I know.
You know, people are buying hair right all the way from it. They're buying hair all over the place trying to cover their hair up, and some other people are shaving hair off. If you guys get together, you can just cut your hair off and give it to the guy next to you who's buying hair. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, my goodness. And so, where was I talking about? Oh, my goodness.
Chris smoked his Bible.
Oh, Chris smoked his Bible. So stay tuned for how the smoke offering wasn't always, you know. Oh, yeah. that we're talking about how holy John always has been.
Right, right.
I know,
and how we, you know, I can relate to Solomon can relate to so many things because Solomon did so many things. He said, I did everything under the sun, and I found out it was all vanity, you know, and I like what T.D. Jakes says. He says, I don't trust a man that doesn't limp.
I know, that's right.
I don't limp. I drag. I'm like, he's going to drag, you know. He's like, but, you know, but because of that, you know, you can empathize with people because you can realize that the Lord has a grace for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a grace for you. There's not a grace for the religious dude who says that he's never done anything wrong, but that in itself is a wrong thing, by the way, because he says no man's righteous, no, not one. There's nothing worse than the religious spirit, you know, that trust in their own works and all that. And that's who Jesus called whitewashed tombs and hypocrites, and those are the ones he said woe to. And it wasn't to the prostitutes. He never said, to the prostitute. He said, hey, don't sin no more. I'm not going to condemn you, you know. And then to the one prostitute that poured oil over his feet, you know, Mary goes, this will be remembered of her. But to the religious folk, he said, you snakes, you're a snake. You're a whitewashed tomb. Woe unto you, you hypocrites, that you go across the seas to win a convert. They come over here and you put more on their back that they can't even bear. and you don't even lift a finger to even help them, and you make them twice as much a son as hell as you are.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Is that the right? Is that the right? Yeah, that's red letters right there. It is. That's it's in the word.
Yeah,
it's in. That's what Jesus said.
That's a direct quote.
So, which is really cool, because it's not cool if you're the religious man or the woman. But listen, if you're not, if you're like us that needs Jesus, and
right.
and that we're the one busting the alabaster box, mm-hmm. hoping he remembers us, and we're the one beating on our chest, realizing that we need things. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the ones. Well, Chris is the one that smoked his Bible and needs Jesus. You know that's what's so awesome about God.
Yeah,
that's what's so awesome about him, that he loves you. It's just the people who try to earn their way to him. And there's nothing more, you know, think about it. You know, your kid gets up in the morning in your own home that they were born in, and say they're 8 years old, and they walk around and do some stuff or something and say, you know, look, Dad, look, Mom, look what I'm able to do with this house. I'm the one that made this house happen. But the parent, you know, parents are like, what?
Sit down.
What are you talking about? It don't even make sense to the parent, right?
Right.
Religion, when men are trying to earn their way to God and say they did something, that doesn't even register with anything righteous. It just registers with woe unto you, you hypocrite.
That's right.
And so I want to encourage you this morning. If you're someone, you know, that you feel like that you've done so much wrong, realize there's no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. There's no dirtiness that the red blood of Jesus cannot purify. And there's no shame that the cross cannot take away. And
yeah.
and the only one that's going to make you feel like that it can't be taken away is going to be that religious dude. But what will encourage you is that what Jesus talks about that religious dude. You know, it's like,
that's right.
Oh, well, cool, because he was really making me feel bad because I thought that God could not forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we live our life out by the power of the cross of Christ, and through his empowerment and his love for us and our love for him, we're able to do what we couldn't do before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you haven't yet, you know, began to have an abiding relationship with the Jesus you profess to know, he is anxiously waiting for you to spend time with him. And if you don't have a plan, we have one for you. You can request one today. You go to iabide.org. And instantly, look it over, you like it, request it, instantly it will come to you. And it has a simple little plan. It has to be simple and something that you can do on a regular basis that doesn't put you in that woe category that all of a sudden now you're religious and now you're trusting in how, oh, I'm reading 3 chapters a day, bless God, and I'm you know, I'm doing this and doing that, and it's just that the whole conversation's weird,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
You know, and then, and it's so, 8-year-olds are abiding with God. You
That's
know,
right.
and God's talking to them. I've never seen so many people hearing the voice of God so clearly, and
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
cross socioeconomic lines, cross gender lines, cross age lines, and it's like, you know, when people who abide with God get together, they just go, "Amen, amen,
amen,"
yeah, amen, which means, yeah, my spirit bears witness with your spirit. That's exactly what I'm hearing. It kind of just brings depth and dimension to what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Go, you know, you have iPhones, iPads. You know, go to iabide.org and get that plan today. We'll be right back. You know, I think about that, you know, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the
turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God, people would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, I began to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting Band-Aids on my thumbs from like hitting the hammer and trying to build something. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on one of the projects we were doing. He pulls out his iPhone, and I'm like,
an iPhone.
While we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer 2x4, and he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah, he has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what does the level do? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because, I don't know, apparently he had like left a level in the truck or left a level at the house. And and there it is, like the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of his of the 2x4 off his iPhone. And we start talking, and he says, yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV, VFN Daily Radio program? And I was like, there's an app for that? He's like, yeah, there's an app for that. He says, you can go right on iTunes right now. And you can also go on the Android, because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in, and there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you on VFN Radio's Extra Hours, Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. I do want to give a shout out this morning to our Jamaican listeners. Good morning, Dwayne. We're glad to have you in our virtual audience from Jamaica. Good morning, man.
Good morning, man.
We're hearing about, I don't know if you guys heard about this, that, you know, the White Horse prophecy that was given like in 18 whatever, but Rick Joyner was talking about it with Morningstar Ministries, and we were learning, and if you've been listening to VFN Radio and watching VFN TV, which you can at VFNTV.com, you can watch it now, is that, you know, God will use, if God's people do not listen, if we don't listen to him, God will use other people who are not his people to be able to get our attention. And we talked about it earlier, you know, brace yourself and some other things that we talked about on the radio with the Assyrians, you know, watch Syria and the things that are going on. He says, I'll bring them down like a battering rod or something, and that I'll whistle from afar and they'll come in, which means this, you know, God will use whatever he wants to use, ever how he wants to do it, to accomplish his will. So somebody says, well, how could that be? I don't know. How could somebody, you know, prophesy and be accurate with a prophecy, you know, if they're not of God? Right. Well, you know, Jesus said it in Matthew 7:22-23. He said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? He didn't say you didn't prophesy accurately. That's he right. said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons and perform miracles? And then Jesus said, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. Away from you, evildoers. So it is possible for people to nail your life, but not accepted Jesus Christ, who was nailed to the cross. I mean, don't get caught up with gifts that people can, and it could be accurate, and you can use that word because it's an accurate word. And God was speaking to you through that person, possibly, you know, and he's in line up with God's words. But don't be looking, it's a whoring spirit that runs after a prophet. You understand that, you know, you could be picking up some cans and somebody could prophesy to you. You never know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, but, you know, God has a way of getting our number and talking to us. And if you're rightly related to the fullness of the body, which is the fivefold gifts are there, you're going to have all types of things happening all the time. And we literally swim in the gifts of seeing what's going on. Children, you know, prophesy. And, but it's, just want to, so the question is White Horse prophecy. We want to hear this. So understand that the Jesus said in Matthew 7:22-23, that you can prophesy accurately and not even know Jesus. And Paul tells us that you can even preach another Jesus, you know, and that, but he calls them the, you know, angels of, you know, no wonder, it says, they'd come as disguised as angels of light, but no wonder his servants, Satan's servants, are called servants of righteousness, something like that. I know you can look for another Jesus in the VFN Torch and highlights, and I'm just trying to focus on the White Horse prophecy. So understand, just because somebody says Jesus, I mean, and most religions acknowledge the name Jesus, but they don't acknowledge God Jesus. They don't acknowledge him as the Son of God. Only one Christians mean Christ follower, you know. A Muslim means I follow Muhammad as the prophet. A Mormon means I follow the angel Mormon, the Book of Mormon. So it's to say a Mormon is a Christian is saying, like, I'm following Mormon and I'm following Christ.
Mm-hmm. Which one are you going to follow? You know, you got to pick out which one you're going to follow.
Right.
But in the Whitehurst Prophecy, it talks about a Mormon at some time in America's history. And I want you to hear Rick Joyner talk about it, which means that, you know, you cannot be of God, or you can be, but you cannot be of God,
mm-hmm.
but be used by God. I mean, you cannot be with God, but you can be used by God.
All right.
You know, God will often use things out of control, we always say, to bring us in control, right?
Sure. Yeah.
There's no way you could be using this person. He's like, you know, actually, it's revealing everything in your flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Pat can't relate probably to that, but you know, you know what I'm saying. But listen, let's listen to Rick Joyner talk about the White Horse Prophecy.
Now, we also, you know, on this program, we do want to talk about current events, and I'm trying to give you a biblical kingdom perspective on those events. And one of the things that's starting to be talked about quite a bit in the news today is the White Horse Prophecy that that Joseph Smith gave, who was the founder of the Mormon movement, the Church of Latter-day Saints. And of course, he is considered, you know, not to have been Christian. That whole doctrine, the Book of Mormon and all, is, you know, it was an adding to Scripture, which we're clearly told in the end of the book of Revelation, you don't do that. Nothing else stands with the book, the Bible, the canon Scripture. Nothing should be. But this White Horse Prophecy is being talked about in the secular media. It's being talked about all over. Joseph Smith, who did prophesy a lot of things, some of which came to pass. And we even see in Scripture what Paul the Apostle told Timothy. The Cretan false prophets said some things that were true, were accurate. And he said, therefore, do these, you know, it's an amazing thing there. But yeah, there, you know, someone can be a false prophet and still get accurate prophecies. You know, I have met some people I consider to be false prophets. They were preaching another gospel. They were they had perverted and twisted the Scriptures and things that you don't do. They were, in some cases, leading people to worship. I felt another God. Things like this that clearly identify a false prophet. And yet they would have things that were very accurate. Now, were they just hearing from the devil? Not necessarily. There are things that, you know, are picked up in the spiritual realm. And we're going to do some teaching on that in the months to come on prophetic revelation, because this is an increasingly important thing that we understand. That's why we see in Acts 2:17 and 18, in the last days, when the Lord pours out his Spirit, the result of pouring out his Spirit is dreams, visions, and prophecy. He says that specifically about the last days. So we know if we're getting close to the end of the age, we can start expecting dreams, visions, and prophecy, and it's by his Spirit. And so he's given us that because in these days, we're going to need that kind of direction and guidance from him. And we've got to understand these things, but this, you know, the source, Joseph Smith, gives everyone understandably real concern about this prophecy. But let me tell you what the prophecy is. The White Horse Prophecy, it's called. And supposedly given by Joseph Smith, I think it was in 1847. I know it was not written or not published until I believe it was 1893, but it was in the 1890s that it was first published. And the Mormon Church has disavowed this. They said, we don't know if it's true. We don't even know if it's from Joseph Smith or someone else and just attributed to him. And yeah, many of the Gnostic Gospels and all kinds of other books and writings came out in the early church history that were claiming to be from people they really weren't. And so the Mormon Church is saying, we really cannot authenticate this as having come from Joseph Smith. That's their position on it. It is not a doctrine of the church, and it's not a prophecy that they accept from the Mormon Church. But it does say, in a time, this is the prophecy, when our Constitution, our U.S. Constitution, is hanging by a thread, it's like the thinnest of threads, then a Mormon is going to arise to save the Constitution and save our republic. And that the it would be during a time when the Mormons are in a time of incredible financial prosperity. Now, one thing is for sure, some of the most successful businessmen in our nation right now are Mormons. They are in a time of incredible prosperity. Many are thinking, well, Romney, could he be that white horse? And others have said, Glenn Beck, he was Mormon. He was converted to Mormonism, or others who have really stood up for the Constitution. I don't know. I know this is out there. I am just praying and praying about it. I personally was very concerned and disappointed that, you know, about the whole Republican field of candidates. I did not feel that there, you know, any of them, you know, really had what it was going to take for these times. Romney is supposedly, you know, a very isolated, a small group, no conservatives really in his inner circle, serious conservatives. But I do appreciate what he did as head of Bain Capital and what he did as the head of the Olympics. And one mentality we need to be, I know everybody would love to have a conservative evangelical Christian as president, but, you know, I think when we've had that, it hasn't worked out too well. We thought Jimmy Carter, because he was a Christian and a Baptist and an evangelical, supposedly devoted to the gospel, my opinion, he's the worst president we had in the 20th century. One of the worst, for sure. And it just brought terrible things upon our country. And, you know, you can question George Bush. I mean, I think he really was a devoted believer, Christian, and did many great things, but also opened the door to many terrible things that we're reaping the consequences of right now. Now, I'm not blaming Bush on all of our economic problems as the Obama administration's tended to be. I think they've just made them worse. They could have been fixed easily by now, but things that were done have just made them worse. There are other issues, though. But I am personally, I don't know. I just don't know about Romney. I have been interested in this white horse prophecy. And I've been interested in that, you know, one thing about the Mormon church. I felt that I was shown, I wrote about this in the Vision of the Harvest that I was given 25 years ago, that they do have a mixture. Many of them really believe in Jesus Christ as their salvation, that only the cross is for the atonement. There's nothing. And but they have all this other stuff in the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith's prophecies and all that. The best I could say, but I have read through it. It's been a long time. It was weird. It was really weird. And some of it I thought really bad. Some of it got my attention. I said, that may be true. I don't know. There is a mixture. But in my opinion, the Mormons and some of the other, what we would, you know, whether you call them fringe groups or outright heresies or sects or whatever, but like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Lord showed me a great revival coming upon those fringe groups or those that we thought had a mixture, and God was going to use them mightily, but they were going to come to Jesus and worship Jesus. And they were going to be delivered. And we all need deliverance from stuff. We're all getting free of stuff. But that just as the Samaritans in Scripture were some of the most responsive to the gospel. I mean, think about the woman at the well. You know, one woman gets it, runs into town. The whole city comes out to see Jesus. And then they all say, listen, we now believe in him, not just because of your words, because we've seen for ourselves. They had enough care to come out and see him and hear for themselves. And then they believed, the entire city believed in Jesus. Then later in Acts 8, you see Philip, the evangelist, going to Samaria. The entire city comes out to hear him. And the entire city is touched with the gospel those who had a mixture, and the Samaritans had a mixture of Judaism and all kinds of other weird stuff. They did. But they were the most responsive in Scripture to the gospel. So I don't give up on any group. I reach out to them. I thought the most wonderful book signing I ever had. I didn't know I was doing a book signing in a Mormon bookstore. This is 20 years ago, 25 years ago, maybe. I know that book, The Harvest, really touched the Mormons. It was one of the biggest bookstores I've ever been in. One of the nicest people. I think everyone, they had lines around the block, people wanting to come in and get their book signed. And they almost every one of them brought me a gift. They brought me dinners. They brought me all kinds of other stuff. Some of the nicest people I ever met and some of the hungriest. Believe God for a mighty move of God among the Mormons, among the Jehovah's Witnesses, and everyone else is going to hear the gospel in these times.
This is such a good, good perspective. You hear, you know, we're going to talk about the White Horse Prophecy, and, you know, as we said earlier, and you can see on the Beefing Torch, that, you know, we can't put God in a box. I mean, God is God. In addition to that, you know, there's two categories of people, despite all the religious expressions. There's two categories. Those who have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life,
mm-hmm.
and those who haven't.
Right.
There is no other category. This is the two categories. There is no, like, and all these forms of religion and men's attempts to do what's right, and the enemy's constantly trying to twist and deceive us and to turn us, and God delivers us from those things, is that, you know, when we talk about, you know, our Mormons, Christians, is something we talk about in the VFN Torch. You know, the thing is that if they have left the, you know, following Mormon and now follow Jesus Christ, of course, you know, mm-hmm. of course, you know, and they made Jesus the Lord of their life, as in everybody else, because there's only two categories. I mean, that's where right. we come from, you know.
Right.
So if you're one of like, you guys, you're two-sided. Well, yeah, we are. You either know Jesus or you don't.
That's right.
But God loves you, whichever side you're on, mm-hmm. and he doesn't love you more because you made the right choice. He's still in right. love with both sides up until the last moment. And so whether it comes in Catholicism or whether you're a Baptist, whether you're a Mormon, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Buddhist, all of yous, as they would say up north, God loves y'all. But there's only one way to God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. So when we talk about, you know, the Book of Mormon or the Quran or different things like that, understand that God still loves you if you have not yet made the decision, but any moment you can, and God will receive you. And he loves us all equally
mm-hmm.
and a lot. You know, and I thought it was pretty cool because mm-hmm. this White Horse Prophecy, you know, it kind of looks like Constitution's hanging in the balance, you know, and we're just trying to figure out, you know, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, you just don't know, but you gotta ponder the idea that even though in Matthew, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7 that some people that don't know him can actually deliver an accurate prophecy, don't throw out the accurate prophecy just because the person who delivered it, based on your present understanding, and only God knows, boils down to what their heart's decision is, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If the prophecy is right, it's right. Like,
how many times has that happened?
Like, yeah. Oh my goodness.
You want to get a word from there, but I tell you what.
Well, I know somebody that's dead today that was so caught up in the accuracy of their ability to prophesy that they thought they were their gift.
Mm.
And not only can someone get deceived by somebody who has the gift of prophecy, for example, and they automatically assume they're right because the gift was right, even the individual themselves, who has the ability to prophesy accurately, can think that they can that nothing's, because they are their gift,
mm-hmm.
and you're not your gift, by the way. And they found that out on the last day of judgment. Jesus says many people are going to come to me that day and say, "Lord, Lord, did we not use our gifts?" And he's not going to say, "No, you didn't use your gifts." And they said, and they even told Jesus, he said, and he goes, "I never knew you, away from me, evildoers," which means you can have accurate use of a gift and still be an evildoer, and Jesus don't know you, but you can choose him. So don't determine who you are, who somebody is based on their gifts. Spend some time with them, and you know them by their fruit. Mm-hmm. And that's all. And that only comes through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know, they accuse Jesus of driving out the devil. He says, you know, he's driving out demons. And they said, you know, you're driving out Satan by Satan. They called him Satan. They called him mm-hmm. Beelzebub. Mm-hmm. And he says, and this is what he said to the Pharisees who did not even accept Jesus as the Messiah. He says, if I drive them out by the devil, who do you drive them out by? Mm-hmm. Which means the Pharisees who didn't know God,
right,
who had a desire in somewhat, you know, wanted to follow God at the time, but they weren't. He was looking in the, he called them Satan. They still were driving out demons. So your ability to minister, sir, ma'am, your ability to prophesy, your ability to speak rhythmically and articulately, you know, your ability to, when you lay hands on somebody and they get sick, that's not you. That's the name of Jesus. There's power. Right. The name of Jesus is so powerful that evildoers can use it. Even the sons of Sceva were using it for a little bit, you know, and then, of course, then the devil turned on them. But that so, but in the whole thing we're saying here, or what I'm saying this morning, is it kind of looks like this prophecy could very well be an accurate potential. It may be nice for the Constitution to be held on to, and not to lose it, you know, and we'll spend the next 100 years apologizing for what we didn't do with it. And if God would entrust us, you know, to, you know, we will not squander the First Amendment as mm-hmm. we have squandered it mm-hmm. and by God's grace. And maybe God will use America towards Israel in the last days to be there to help usher in, you know, the spirit of Elijah preparing the way for the Lord. I don't know. But I know when I was there in Israel ministering to several businessmen that were there, it was beautiful, man. It was like this big picture window was behind me, and there was like a half circle of all these businessmen there in Israel, and outside the picture window was the Mount of Transfiguration. I was right behind. Is that beautiful or what? I was like, oh my goodness. Wow. But one of them began to prophesy. And they prophesied that God would use this to bring unity in Israel. Mm. You know, what we're doing, which is exciting. Mm. You know, we want to be a part of what God is doing there. By the way, do you remember Vivian? You know, Vivian, when you were there? And
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. You know, she's a listener. She's part of the audience.
Yes, she is.
And she
hey,
said,
Vivian.
Yeah, yeah. And she's going through, we need to keep her in our prayers because she's going through some surgery. And had a little difficulty and struggle with that, and she's back home now, but just pray for your healing, Vivian. But I wanted to pass that out to you that she had mentioned that you guys went to Israel together.
We sure did. In fact, she helped me get my passport. We took a trip all the way to New Orleans together to get my passport like the day before I'm supposed to fly out to Israel. So it was an incredible time. 10 days in the Holy Land. I encourage anyone, if you get the opportunity, go to Israel. Yeah. I remember being on the balcony of a hotel in Tel Aviv. It's like midnight. And just looking over the city and little kids playing. It's just, I just felt so safe there when I was there. It just felt really good.
I was eating at the Ben Yehuda Mall. Can't even say it. And they have, you know, restaurants that are out, you know, mm-hmm. and about. But that's where all those the suicide bombers came in with the nails and stuff in their vests and all that. And you're sitting there, so, you know, everyday life. I remember talking to one, Pat, you and I were there for that time. Remember the one man that had his friend that they were riding the bus in Israel, you know, mm-hmm. and Israelis. Mm-hmm. And he got off the bus at a bus stop and his friend stayed yeah. on and the bus blew up. And he was yeah. so angry, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he was expressing to us his anger. And it's like, you know, we can't, you know, it's like we need to stand for Israel.
Yeah.
You know? And you can stand for Israel for selfish reasons, America, because if we don't stand for Israel, that's going to be our future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, you get on a bus and you don't know whether you're going to make it to the end of the ride or not.
And these days were just so important. I mean, just next week, the prime minister is coming back to the United States to speak at the UN. And
it's Rosh Hashanah.
That's right, Rosh Hashanah, and he's actually reporting, he's actually saying this. He's actually saying that Iran is only 6 months away from having a nuclear weapon. I mean, he gave a time, you know, everyone sits close, we don't know, do they have it? I mean, if anyone has intelligence, we know that Israel has some serious intelligence, and he's saying this now. We must stand with Israel. We must pray for Israel.
Yeah, and, we just finished up a full day of prayer. We, like, spend Mondays, and we stand shifts, but we're all over the place. But we take shifts, and we stand like a virtual watch, if you would, for 24 hours straight. And part of our prayer that we pray for, and we've been praying for, is praying for Israel and praying for our president and protection over him, because the things the Lord has shown us, that evil men have evil plans. And we just need our president to his eyes to open up and to hear from God and to have divine intervention. And God can do that. God can do that. And pray protection over him. But tomorrow we will talk it. I think we'll have a segment tomorrow where the ambassador it will be speaking from Israel about how Israel is prepared. They're not thinking that they're not going to go to war.
All right.
This is what he's going to say. We're going to have tomorrow is that it's just a matter of when. And I think this is the word the Lord gave me way back when it's all coming to, things are coming to pass, that I'm realizing, oh, that's an accurate prophecy, When you realize you're not your gift, you're just as surprised as everybody else, and you're taking notes on what God did. But I remember writing this out on a napkin to my daughter, and she was reminding me, this is exactly what you wrote out. But the second that America, the Israel has to fire one shot, just one shot, to defend themselves, is the massive escalation for America who didn't stand with Israel that caused that to happen. So the fact that when they're saying, it's not the fact that we're going to go to war, it's the fact of the matter of when. So mark my word, the first shot that they have to fire, and believe me, this is not going to be some casual situation. Well, you'll hear tomorrow, they're going to eliminate a lot of things, and they have to do it instantly because they have Hamas on the southern border. They have Hezbollah on the northern border. They have Iran on the eastern border. I mean, they've got to begin to just immediately begin to remove all these things. And so, but realize this, why America looks upon that, and our president said to Israel that if you do this, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And now we have warships in the Mediterranean, of which our commander-in-chief is over those ships. And we're just in a very crucial time. I just pray that every American will stand up for God and country.
That's right.
At a time like this, and that, if somebody tells you to take Jesus and nail him to the cross, say no. If somebody tells you to harm a Jewish man or a Jewish woman, no matter what happens to you, say no.
Absolutely.
If somebody tells you to deny Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, as God, say no. And let the cards fall they might. There is no exceptions, and it's time for us to quit playing, trying to play both sides and be covert, and just come on out and just say, listen, this is who we are. We need Jesus, but it's just so important. So tomorrow, but I want to be able to share the moment of wisdom before we close out today as we're ending in our extra hour. We'd like to share, the corresponding day. There's like 31 chapters in Proverbs, and so it's 31 days maxed out in a month. Sometimes there's less. And so I encourage you to do this, that you take the time, and in addition to whatever else you're doing, take the time to read over or listen to. I would say listen to, but it depends if you're an audio learner or a reading learner. But you don't want to make it religious where all of a sudden you start shutting down to it. You just want wisdom to be washed over your mind, because wisdom is the ability to take your knowledge and properly apply it, and properly apply the knowledge. And that you can be as smart as anything, but do stupid things because you don't have wisdom. And so it's not about knowing a whole bunch of things. It's about knowing what to do with what you know. And that's how you can see a millionaire in overalls. Looks like, how could he be doing that? He doesn't have he's not a graduate of Harvard. And it's like, but he's got wisdom. He's got wisdom. And so today's the 18th of the month. So we're going to look at the Proverbs chapter 18, and we're going to just pick a verse, from it. And so the wisdom moment is Proverbs 18:8. And it reads, The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Think about that. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Realize the word, you know, when you think about the definition of gossip, you know, gossip is something that somebody would say to somebody behind someone's back they wouldn't say to their face. It's not something that's accurate or something they know to be true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that they would never say it to the person, but they would say it. They just openly just kind of run their mouths.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the flattery. Flattery is something that somebody would say to somebody's face that they would never say behind their back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. You know, it's a spirit. Mm-hmm. It's a spirit, you know. And this one particular flatterer that what he would do, we had this messaging system going on and with our business. And what he would do, he would private message you when he wanted to flatter you. But he would publicly message you that when he would say something that he would, you know, when he would, you know, want everybody to hear. Mm-hmm. But a private message you couldn't make available to all the company because, you know, it would be a private message. But right. the public messages you can actually forward and everybody, it encouraged everybody and it focused. Well, you know, of course, he would message me and go, you know, you're like just really good at this business and, you know, you're helping us be profitable and, you know, without you, I don't think this thing would work. And it's like, this is a private message. It can't be forwarded. <He's> like, for somehow, I don't know what happened, but somehow it went public. And he never flattered me again. It's totally amazing.
Wow.
But he says that it's like a choice morsel. I don't know if you've ever had sirloin tips, you know, just that are done just right. You know,
sirloin?
Yeah, sirloin tips that are done just right or... You know, maybe a filet mignon, you know, little chunks of filet mignon that are mm-hmm. just right. It melts in your mouth and it's just filled with such great flavor and your whole body just enjoys that. It just you take it in. And what he says is that gossip is like a choice morsel that you have to understand there's something behind that. There's something behind that. It's not just somebody telling you something. There's a spirit behind it. It's an evil spirit, as a matter of fact. And he tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And that, and there's just so much gossip that goes on today. And, but listening, when you're listening, mm-hmm. when somebody tells you this, they go, listen, I'm going to tell you something I can't tell anyone. Can I tell you? I need to tell someone. I need to tell you. Right?
Right.
But don't tell anybody. It's like, well, you're violating your own rule right now, right? You're violating your own rule. I used to always say to our kids, you know, you can be nosy if you want to, but you might, if you try to be nosy, hear what we're saying, you might hear us talking about you. You know, if it's gossip, which has a spirit to it, if you allow them to speak to you, you know, you're going to have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
You think about hot potato. You remember hot potato as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Okay. We're relating. You know, hot potato was you take a baseball, a bat, you know, a bat.
A bat.
Oh, I was thinking about Chris's life when he was growing up.
What kind of hot potato was that?
And, well, you cook a potato, it's hot. And so, I know a lot of people haven't cooked one in years. I'm not talking about French fries. I'm talking about a baked potato.
Potato.
Yeah, and
potato.
You take it. And you, when you get it, you have to throw it to somebody else in a hurry
because
mm-hmm. It's hot potato. And so then they catch the hot potato and they go, "Ooh, it's hot," and they throw it to somebody else. And I don't know how the game ends up. I don't know how it ends up.
It used to be a saying when you're doing it, right?
Well, hot potato, I don't know.
You know, like count or something.
I
forgot.
I don't
Not
know.
Not a game I played. I'm sorry.
No,
I can't
so,
help
so.
Must have been a Southern game.
No, yeah, right. They, well, he.
Potato.
He grew what the I was gonna talk about anyway. So I gotta focus. We gotta focus. We're coming,
all right.
And so that's what it is. It's like it hits you like a hot morsel, and the spirit about it when you got it, it's almost like you got to give it to someone. I mean, once you know, it's like and this is what people say. They say, "Man, I'm so glad that was really bugging me, but now I got a chance to tell you. You know, I'm much better now." Well, you know why? Because you got it.
Right.
They just gave you the spirit, and now you got to tussle with it. And are you going to throw it like a hot potato, or what are you going to do with it? There's two things you can do with that. The first thing you can do is you can do what they did, mm-hmm. and you can be a part of Satan's strategy to begin to divide and destroy and tell other people, or you can go to God and repent for allowing that to take place. You mm-hmm. can, the second choice you can make is say, Lord, I participated in that gossip, and they spoke that into my ear, and the reason why I'm tussling and torn and turning because I opened my heart up, and that church choice morsel went down into my heart, and then if you don't take this out of me, it's going to end up in somebody's ear. Mm-hmm. And so there's two ways to handle that. You cannot just sit around and let people just pour this gossip into your ear or listen to it on your radio or your television or whatever, because you're going to be stuck with it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be held captive, is what Paul told Timothy when he wrote him, captive to do the adversary's will. And when you think about the social media aspect of it, you know, social media can be a great way to relate to other people, but if you don't respond to it correctly, social media could be a choice morsel for you. It'll go deep down within you, and you'll find yourself, if you have a gossiping spirit, plundering people's lives, photos, and posts, devouring them like choice morsels, mm-hmm. and talking to other people like you actually know these people. And people will think that you do, but truly is you got a spirit of gossip on you. And that's not a good thing to do as a believer. You know, we shouldn't be doing that. And so understanding that gossip is something we don't want to be a part of. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confident, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. You know, Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels that we're talking about. It goes down into the innermost parts. Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Proverbs 26:20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. And on, he talks about it again and again in the Word about how important it is to stay away from it. So you need to ask yourself this question. When somebody starts to gossip with you, mm-hmm. and you sense it, you know, it might not be gossip. It could be accurate stuff that you need to know. Mm-hmm. You need to stop the person at first and ask them, do you know this to be true? Right? Do you know this to be true? And whatever the answer. And this one is, have you talked to them about this? You know? And then what do they tell you? And then you tell them plainly, you say, you know, well, I'm going to speak to them about this. I'm going to talk to them about this because, you know, and it freaks them out if they're a gossiper because they're like, No, this is stuff I say behind their back, but you can't tell them to their face. Well, today's wisdom moments, Proverbs 18:8. Stay away from gossip. It is a spirit, and it will divide you from the very people that you're allowing it to come against you. And it says, the word of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. God bless. We're coming to the end of the extra hour. We so enjoyed it. Don't forget, we will be on the air 24/7, VFN Radio. Find out more on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Also, check out the highlights. Share it with a friend. Like us on Facebook. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.